Sorry. Quiet in the set. Action.
Welcome to another edition of the Parent Pivot podcast. Yes, I'm introducing today, just to do something different, change things up. We have with us, I forgot you. Sorry.
Forget your co-host?
Yes, I'm Julia Cummings.
Yes, this became the Julia Cummings podcast all of a sudden.
Yeah. I'm Julia Cummings.
Hey, and I'm Steve Cummings, but Julia's taking the lead, so take it away, honey.
I'm not used to doing this. Anyway, we have with us today our favorite son-in-law.
Yes.
Who, don't tell, but he happens to be our only son-in-law.
Oh.
And he is with us today, and we're going to ask him some questions. And we love Taylor. He's funny, so I'm sure he'll probably crack a couple jokes here.
No
pressure.
No, you know what's great about Taylor? Can I interrupt for just a second?
Yeah.
Before we get to the good stuff?
Yeah.
So, when Taylor was dating Jamie Lynn, I think you guys were dating. By the way, welcome to the podcast, Taylor, so people can hear your voice.
Thank you, yes.
But there was a time when he was driving here to the house, and he was on the freeway, and he took a video of a hay truck.
Oh, yes.
And he yelled, "Hey!" Now, listeners out there, I have done that all through our kids' childhood. Like, we'd be driving along, they'd be sound asleep, and I'd see a hay truck. And I would just yell, "Hey," blah, blah, blah. And it would startle everybody. And I'm like, what do you want? And I go, "Nothing, I'm just saying there's a hay truck there." So Taylor sends this video doing the exact same thing.
And he has no idea that Steve that.
Yeah. And I'm like going, "I love this man." And my daughter went, "Oh my gosh, I'm marrying my father."
Exactly.
Anyway, I just thought that was great. Anyway, yes. Sorry to interrupt. I just had to share that story.
Anyway, I don't have much more to say, so I'm going to hand it over to Steve to do some more intro. And if you want to tell them more about Taylor and as you intro him, and then we can ask him questions.
Well, I remember when Taylor and Jamie Lynn were about to get engaged. Taylor was on leading a world race group.
Yeah, that's right.
And were you in Romania?
When we got engaged? Yes.
But you had called and we spent like a good hour or two on the phone just to get to know each other. So I didn't even mention face to face.
Right.
And I'm talking to Taylor. And I think, you know, to give a little more background since we have time.
Sure.
I've always known that Jamie Lynn needed someone older than herself because men her age were just not keeping up with her spiritually. Mm. And we got our golden answer when they found each other and stuff. But Taylor and I, we got to know each other over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I said before, I gave you a book too.
You gave me a book, yes, right.
It was called
The Guardian Angel.
The Guardian Angel. Yes. So if you're a dad out there and your daughter's getting ready to get engaged and ask that, here's what I did with Taylor. We had a great time getting to know each other over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, I really want you to read this book because it talks really well about what an Ezer Kenedko is," which is a Hebrew word for helper. Mm-hmm. And it puts things into really biblical Hebrew terms. The first half of the book is hard to get through because it's all scholarly.
Right.
But then he starts getting into those Pauline passages about things, and it really shapes and says, "Hey, the women, our wives are our guardian angels." Mm. And I gave it to Taylor, and he read it and stuff. But really,
did you read it, Taylor?
Actually, what's funny because I was in the scholarly part of it, and I'm like kind of slowly reading it, knowing that I have a couple months. And then I found out that I could go get engaged. And so I read that thing real quick after that. I was like, "I'm getting through this book."
Anyway, it's in fact, we've talked about using that book in premarital counseling.
Yeah.
And things, just because I think sometimes traditional religious conservative roles of husband and wife can be a little archaic. And to kind of go through that is really helpful to open the eyes of saying, "Hey, we're co-heirs. Mm-hmm. I'm not over you. You're not over me. But you see things." And the way it works, I'm getting off track here because we are going to ask Taylor some questions.
Well, that's right.
But the great thing about that is that you see your wife as your guardian angel. In other words, for you and I for 36 years now.
Yeah.
You will see something and go, "You know, I just can't put my finger on it, but I don't think we should do this." And I go, "What are you talking about? I've gone through all the logic in my head. There's no reason why we shouldn't, da, 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 da." And you just have a funny feeling mm-hmm. that, nah, this isn't going to go well. And I can probably take a whole another podcast to talk about all the things where I went, oh, but you're full of it, sweetheart. In a blessed way. Not,
you never said that to me.
I didn't say,
wouldn't have gone well.
He would have slept on the couch.
Oh, sweetheart, you're whatever. I just kind of dismissed it.
Yes.
That's what I meant to say. You're never full of anything except yes. love and joy and pain.
Oh, sweet.
But anyway, I have learned in my 36 years of marriage to go, you know what? She has my back. She is the guardian angel for this marriage. God speaks to her in a different way and shepherds this marriage. And I have to go, all right, I'm going to, even though she can't logically explain why we shouldn't do something, I lean into that more and more now. So anyway, I'm sorry. That's a commercial. I'll be happy to put the book in the show notes here.
Yeah, it's great.
And stuff. But anyway, what would you want to ask Taylor when we get started? Because this is our second in-law child.
Yeah, well, I want to ask the same question that I asked Ashley.
Yeah.
You know, she and Campbell are in a different stage of life. But you and Jamie Lynn mm-hmm. are in a stage of life where you just had a baby. You've got an infant. Mm-hmm. Our little Florence is 2.5 months old. Mm-hmm. You're adjusting to parenthood and what life looks like with parenthood and marriage and parenthood together and yada, 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 all of that. So my question is, what at this stage of life do you need from your parents / in-law parents?
Mm. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, Steve and I, we talk about this because, well, not this question, but the fact that men, a lot of times in culture, it's like you gotta pick yourself up by the bootstraps and figure it out. So it's hard for me to say things that I need usually. But I think it's, and not to puff you guys up, but it's what you guys have given. There's a lot of times where you guys have said, hey, we can babysit. Hey, won't you guys go on a date night or we have our acting class that we go to and you guys say, yeah, how can we help? And a lot of it is really just helping Jamie Lynn, because there's a lot of times where she's very stressed, as I am sometimes with the baby, and just helping her, giving her a break, which you guys have done just so great. So I think that's it, is helping out whenever you can, but also checking in is a great thing, I think. Mm. Like truly check in. Not like, hey, how's it being a dad, huh?
Right.
But more, how are you doing?
Right.
And maybe it's because I have more of the pastoral spirit where that means a lot to me when people ask me how I'm doing, and I like to ask how other people are doing. But I think that means the world to me when anyone really asks and truly listens to how I'm doing and how Jamie Lynn's doing.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm very sleepy. No.
Taylor works nights and works out well for how they watch little Florence, but he works nights. Then comes home and it's your shift, but you get home, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty much I'll wind down, do all the chores I need to do, sit down, eat a little late night snack, and then by the time I shower and lay my head on the pillow, I'll hear her, and I'll be like, all right, my
shit. Yeah. And if folks you're listening out there, you don't know this yet, because this is your first podcast you've listened to. And by the way, welcome again. You can get a hold of us at parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com with any questions you have. And we've actually had some people contact us with some other ideas that we'll be talking about in future podcasts. But Taylor and Jamie Lynn live with us, and so does Florence.
Yes.
And we love that. One thing I would just say, if you're in that situation as either adult, as either it's your child, well, yeah, it is our child and our in-law child, so we're both here now that I think about it.
And our grandchild.
Yeah, I think, I guess I would ask Taylor, how has it been as far as living here and feeling like you have any privacy? Do you have privacy?
I do. I mean, it's great because you guys pretty much have an in-law suite underneath where we're not living in a guest room or something like that. So I love that you guys have that ability. I think it'd be probably a little tougher if I was in a guest room, and but because we're in the basement, which is great, have our own little place, and plus being more of an introvert, it probably would be tough for me to live in like a guest room or something like that. I think once I got over the pride of moving back in to my parents' basement kind of thing,
yeah,
it I think after that, I just realized like how much of a blessing it is just to be with you guys and have you guys, especially with a new baby, to have you guys right upstairs, and also just the camaraderie or getting to come upstairs and see you guys and talk it out and all that stuff. It's been great.
We watch movies together.
That's right.
We watch Braves games together.
Watching the Masters this weekend.
Yeah. But there's also times too. I would venture to say, if you're an in-law parent out there and you've got a child Jamie Lynn's an extrovert, mm-hmm. and Taylor just said he's an introvert. Mm-hmm. There are some things that it's you're getting to know your in-law child all over again. Mm-hmm. And things, and a lot of times you don't have 25 or 30 years or however long, you've just we've known each other for
five years.
So see, I can't even do the math.
Yeah.
And there are things that you're learning about your in-law child, and like we got to go to the Brave game earlier this mm-hmm. week, and that was fun for me because I just kept asking Taylor questions and stuff, and he didn't get annoyed at all.
I really did. I appreciate it.
That I know of. That's true. He's probably too nice to say, Dad is annoying.
Right? No, I enjoyed the questions.
Yeah. For us, I think you guys are really good guests in our home. I feel...
They're not guests.
No, but you know what I mean.
This is their home.
Because I think a lot of people may struggle with having people in their home and struggle with things that go on or something left somewhere, things like that. I've heard other parents talk about parents of adult children.
Right.
Let me specify that.
Yes.
But I feel like you guys are super respectful of us. Mm. Hopefully you feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think in a perfect world, I would probably have the house all neat and tidy all the time.
Right.
But I'm loving the fact that I have baby stuff all over the place. And part of that, and for you parents of adult children that have someone in your home living like this, this is part of what you sign up for.
Mm.
Yes. So you can't say yes to someone moving in and then get angry about any kind of mess. I mean, I suppose if it was excessive, yes, you need to set boundaries and rules and stuff. But the fact of the matter is that when there are this many people living in a house, messes are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just encourage people, you kind of got to lighten up, loosen up, kind of realize you're living with people and kind of allow that to happen.
And I think other piece that we've done too to welcome them in really well is like, hey, we have sacred space, which is kind of like the master bedroom,
which we talked about that with the Talberts
if you look back on the podcast list, we talked about generational living and things, and we have a little bit of that going on. We're missing a generation. They have four, we only have three.
Right.
And things, but with that goes, hey, this home, in fact, I even created a parking sign that used to be for our guests for the Airbnb, and I called it Welcome Up Church Parking because that's their last name.
True.
Yeah.
And things, and so I want them to feel at home, but this is their home. They're not living with their in-laws or their parents. This is their home.
Right.
And I'm emphasizing that over and over and over again. And again, like you said, there's baby stuff all over the place. You know what? I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
You know what? This is comfortable for us. You know, you're looking for pacifiers and diapers and wipes and strollers and all sorts of play things. And, it goes upstairs, downstairs. It's like, where did I put? Slippers. Jamie Lynn can never. Jamie Lynn comes up last night and it's like, where are my slippers? I go, well, there's a couple pair
there's
up here.
There's a couple pair, yeah.
But it's family doing life together, and that's kind of doing it.
No, yeah, and I will say just for someone living here, it's been really nice to have you guys say, hey, this is your house, this is your home. But at the same time, it's also like kind of picking up after the other. Like sometimes I'll pick up after Jamie Lynn or she'll pick up after me. Like if there's a dish out that we haven't cleaned, well, I'll try to clean it or leaving stuff out. I think great thing about my parents is they taught me to be a great guest. And so we don't want to, if there's things just strewn everywhere and blankets and slippers, we try to clean up as much as you can, even though you guys say,
and you're a perfect fit for our daughter because we understand, Taylor. There were times when we couldn't get her to clean her room and Julie just said, keep the door closed. It was... Yes.
That's funny.
I love yes. the girl to pieces. I'm just saying that's her natural bent.
That is her natural bent.
And now she's all Taylor's.
Yeah. That's right.
She doesn't mind messes. Although she does get to the point where it's like, I've got to do something about this.
Right.
So.
No, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Because a lot of times she's cleaning up after me. I'll come in and the downstairs really cleaned yes. up or whatever. Yeah. Or even I'm not great at cleaning the bottles. I like leave a film on it. And so the other day she said, okay, bottles are now mine. Don't clean them anymore. You know? So I'm like, all right, well, I tried.
Yeah,
the great thing about her is she would rather get done with the immediate thing and leave the dishes and stuff for later and come back to it. But now that we've added another human being to this landscape here, that takes a little bit longer. And that's fine. It's just her vent, and that's fine. But she's really good at cleaning up.
And I was actually the same. I left dishes in the sink because it was like what was important to me was more time with the family than.
So on this note, as parents of adult children out there, we're helping you to pivot from being that parent to a partner. Now you have adult children living in your home, and whether they're married or not, you talked about messes.
Yeah.
Again, this season of life, and we don't know how long seasons last. You go into it, and if you have an expectation, okay, to put a time frame on it, you're going to always, underneath the surface, have something that's going to agitate you. Mm-hmm. So when you get rid of the expectations and the time frames and just say, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this season and go with it, you end up enjoying life with each other more.
Yes.
You're enjoying life together more and more when you don't have to worry about cleaning up and it just happens. Like, we still have a happy Easter balloon sitting over there in the firewood basket, so it's fine.
Well, and I think it goes both ways.
Sure.
So if we were to ask you, Taylor, it, like you said, you know, getting over the initial, oh gosh, I've moved into the basement of my parents, in-law parents' house, and whatever entails in your brain with that, because mm-hmm. Just so you know, and I don't know if I've ever said this on any of our podcasts, when we were in California and raising our kids, we ended up in my childhood home raising our children. I went through a pretty severe depression after we moved in there because I felt like I was beholden to my parents. I felt like when something with the house needed to be fixed, I had to call mom and dad and ask them to fix it because it's their house. I wasn't, you know, putting money into that. So I know what that feels like. And it took me a while. Mm-hmm. It took me a while. And it took me a while to come to the appreciation of it. And now, like, when I tell people, it's so much more special. People will always respond with, oh my gosh, that is so special that you got to do that. And now, of course, Wesley and his family are
right,
there.
Right.
And so we've now got, this will be the fifth generation, so to speak, that's living in that house in California. But I understand that just initial, like, crap. I want to have, you know, because what you dream of is having your own family and having your own place and making it your own and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
so all that to say. But I'm curious about, can you shift from that feeling to what we're describing in that realizing this is a temporary season and what a blessing this is and to grab it for all it is?
Right. Yeah, no, it's... you know, you don't know you're in the good old days, so you'll leave them or whatever. But there are definitely days where I think, man, I wish I was born 30 years. Well, I mean, 30 years before I was born, because then I could have owned a house, maybe.
Yeah.
These days, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
To have my own place. Or there's some days I say, man, I wish I wasn't an actor. You know, because it's really tough with the rejection and not getting auditions and not making a lot of money. Kind of live, you know, doing ride share. It grinds on you. But I'm also learning I need to embrace this season, because I hear from other parents who say, "Ooh, don't blink," or "Oh man, I missed that phase when she was just an infant or whatever." Mm-hmm. And then you blink, and they're married and. They're living in your basement. So I am trying to embrace it as much as I can, but at the same time, it's the balance. It's embracing it, loving it, but at the same time saying, what's next and having a hope for whatever that future is.
Yeah. One thing that, I'm sorry, jump in, hun, if you want to at some point.
No, but go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing that stands out with your wedding to me, and I can't remember what was being said, but one of the things that I love about you guys and your G42, and I'm not even going to explain what G42 is, but your G42 clan is how when somebody is blessing you with words, how you would like take it and like you're putting it in a basket,
right,
you're filling that basket up. And I can't remember what was being said. I wish I'm going to have to go back and watch a video. And it may have been Matt.
That sure was Matt.
The pastor that was talking. Yeah. But you guys kind of did that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, let's just take it. Let's take it. Let's grasp that. Mm. And
the cool thing about that is they got married in our backyard here during the pandemic. They were the third of three weddings within 5 months of each other.
Yeah.
And we had 200 people in our backyard in October of 2020. No one masked up and no one got sick.
Yeah.
And I just got mowing again today, those 2 acres back there. And when I was driving over that one spot, I went, that's where I gave her away. And I got over to the other side of the yard. I went, that's where we danced.
That's right.
And then the other part of the yard, it's like, that's where the taco food was.
And that's right. And then you go, then you look and you say, oh, that's where they live. Right.
Yeah. It's like your marriage was birthed here and your daughter was, I was coming back from a trip. And I was back taking the MARTA train from the airport back to the house. And next thing I know, you guys were heading off to the hospital.
Mm.
So she wasn't birthed in the backyard, but they were here on this property, which is very special.
Yeah, and I think this house is always going to hold something special for all of those reasons.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Anyway, is there anything you wanted to say about the kind of grabbing it?
Yeah, I think that was something, I also did... long mission trip called the World Race, which is 11 countries in 11 months, and you can look it up. It was a great thing. And both Jamie Lynn and I did that. And then we went to a discipleship school called G42. But during the World Race, I had to learn how to receive love. Mm-hmm. I went in, we're ready to be the great white hope and save everybody there. And we're going to these very difficult countries, and they just want to love on you. And they want to say, hey, this is the only... egg our chicken laid today, we want to give it to you. And we're like, no, that's yours, you should have it. And people just wanted to love you, and so I had to learn to give love. Sometimes you just have to receive love, and that is loving. And especially maybe not in the United States as much, but especially in other cultures, letting other people love you is so loving to them. And so that's something we learned at the discipleship school at G42, is just to continue to receive love. Or if something is said and you want it, it's not necessarily a name it and claim it, but it's a, I want that. And it's, instead of just being like, oh, that's good. It's saying, no, I claim that for myself. So I'm grabbing it, putting it in a basket within my spirit or whatever. And, a lot of times we would start the class and just praying and just sitting in silence and just receiving from the Lord. And that's kind of what we learned at that school is to receive God's love first. And that is how you live out of, not this whole like, okay, what am I going to do today to love God and love others, but I'm going to be loved first. And from that, I can outpour love to others.
And that's interesting because I know for years growing up, and I know we were kind of all taught this in church, is that, well, why are we here? Well, to glorify God. I mean, that was just the standard Sunday school answer. And I think I learned a lot from you World Racers and G42ers because when you got back, we started a house church here in this house we had for 3 years. And I watched these guys come off the race. I watched them interact with the Holy Spirit. I watched them prophesy. I watched them speak truth over each other. I mean, we wrote on walls inside this house with markers and we let them write whatever they needed to declare. And that was a great season of doing that. And I really, I've gone to seminary. They don't teach this stuff in seminary.
Right.
So to watch you guys come off that race and G42 and bring that to us old fogies, that was awesome because it really helped me to dive into that part about receiving love. And what I think I learned from you, correct me if I'm wrong, is that they taught you that we are, whenever we're asked that question, well, why are we here on this earth? What brought us here? That is to love and to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about it, the two commandments that are given to us is love God and love others as you love yourself. And I think for me, it's been hard to learn to love myself and to get in that space. But that's what I learned from you guys. I mean, I learned a lot from Taylor and Jamie Lynn coming off that race and stuff. And that's meant a lot to my spiritual journey.
Yeah. And to shift this back to parents of adult children.
To pivot.
There are a couple of things that stand out to me with that. Number one is, as we have said before, there's so many things to learn from the younger generation.
Absolutely.
And to not ever discount youth, even though they're not that youthful. But do you know, you understand what I mean. But that there are things to be learned that we have never experienced maybe or never been privy to that we can learn from them. The second thing is what you were saying, Taylor, about receiving love. And as a parent, you are in the mode of always giving love. You're a parent now.
Right.
So you can see how that is.
Yeah.
You can see how, okay, it is my job to love this little person, and I'm just going to love her forever, and I'm going to love her and love her and love her and love her and love her. And you forget as a parent that at some point that child's going to want to love on you. And it's hard as a parent to allow that sometimes. I can think years back where Steve had a really hard time, like with his birthday, and
I still do.
And would say, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. And it would frustrate the kids because they wanted to love on him.
Okay, well, time out. Just a little pause. My birthday's in the middle of December.
Yes.
9 days before Christmas.
Yes.
And I want the focus to be on everything else that's going on. So, and that's fine. That's just the way it's been. But go ahead.
Yes, but it was also true maybe even on Father's Day, whatever. You just have a hard time receiving from them because you want to be the one that's giving to them.
I own that.
And I think as parents, that's what we do. So maybe my challenge is for you parents of adult children in there, don't hesitate to tell your kids what you might need and allow them to give back to you. Don't be the strong, powerful pillar who always has everything right and answers everything correctly and never needs anyone and is, you know, strong all the time. It's okay to not be that and to actually say what you need and to allow your adult children to give to you.
Absolutely. And I think it's, that's another great way of that we have been living here is I feel like we all kind of have our own rhythm and sometimes we'll see, okay, Jamie Lynn needs some space or Steve's working on something, I should jump in. And it's like you have to kind of fill out each other of, okay, Julia's come in and she's had a long day, or Taylor, you know, is heading to work and he didn't come upstairs. You know, it's like learning each other's rhythm and loving and like you don't have to walk in the door and be like, okay, how can I help? What can I do? Sometimes it's okay to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, go to my room or whatever.
And we have multiple entrances to this place too. And so it's fine, like if you don't come through the front door or the side door and you want to go around to the basement door. And there's no like, all right, well, that's all great. There's no right or wrong.
Think of a specific instance of this for me that I was blessed. Is I do not do well with the rain. It is a trigger for me. I can get very emotional on rainy days. I don't have great days on rainy days. And I came in one day after I had been to Costco or something and came home, and it was just weighing heavy on me. And I walked in and Jamie Lynn happened to be standing here, and she took one look at me and she knew. And she's like, is it the rain, Mom? And she just walked up to me and gave me a huge hug, and I started crying. And it's that type of thing that I allowed her to give to me. And I know, like, I know Jamie Lynn so well, and I, she knows me so well, and she knows my emotions and I know hers, but I know Jamie Lynn loves gift giving. And I know that she loves to bless other people. And so I know in that moment, she probably felt blessed blessing me.
Yes.
And you have a sweatshirt that says Juju.
Yes.
That she got made. And I have a shirt that says, my favorite people call me Pop. That's what she does. I want to shift a little bit, Taylor.
Yeah.
You've been a part of this family now for a while. You grew up with an older sister?
So middle of two sisters.
Yeah, middle of two sisters, and they got married before you.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you find you the woman of your dreams.
Yes.
And finally. Now you've married into this funky family. What was that like? I mean, there's the upchurch way of growing up
sure.
for 30 some years, and then all of a sudden I'm married into this Cummings family. What did I get myself into?
Right.
What are some of the things, the takeaways there that were either hard or difficult or fun or whatever? There's no wrong answer.
Yeah.
So you can be completely honest
sure.
with our audience here.
Okay. Well, the good thing is the Upchurch family is also pretty crazy. And so it was funny, Jamie Lynn and I were warning each other about our families. But then we both got to the other family and we're like, oh, this is just normal for us just okay. to have a great loud family and everything like that. I think there's pros and cons, but there's balance on each, yeah. like where we can learn from each. There's a good way with like the Upchurches where there's a lot of like, you know, full steam ahead, let's keep going, let's knock this out. They have a great standard of like excellence and let's keep going. And then for
and
you
they're
got,
very positive,
great hosts.
Yes.
Especially my mom.
And
she's
traveling hurts on vacation.
Right.
I have a vacation with your family, but that's what I hear.
Right. And she takes lots of pictures, which is amazing because at the time you're like, oh, pictures. But then later you're like, I'm so glad she took this picture.
Yeah.
This is so cute.
You're talking about your mom?
Yeah, talking about mom. And then, but for you guys, I something that was big that I took away was just your vulnerability with each other and being open and talking through things. I think that's been a learning curve to me where, you know, us up churches, we still talk through a lot of things, but you guys are just so open to talking about hard stuff and hard confrontations. I'm usually a confrontation avoider.
Is that your what's that called? What's that book called?
How we love.
Yeah.
And so, So that's been a learning curve for me is how to tackle confrontation. And you know, the Upchurches, they tackle confrontation, but as just the way you guys do it as well. A lot of times it's like right in front. You know. For us, we kind of let it simmer maybe for a couple hours or a couple days. You guys are like, immediately, let's do it. And so I've had to find that balance where sometimes it is good. So naturally, I have a mask on at all times. Even if I'm the worst day of my life, I will still smile at you and say, hey, how you doing? You doing good? And so that I'm so thankful I have that mask to be able to love others in that way. But I'm also learning to balance being confrontational or talking about my feelings or saying, oh, I'm hurt in some way to others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. And just so you know, on our part, we don't look at what we do as the perfect model.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
It's
a lot of this is because you're the HSP and you read people's faces. So like when you walk in the room, Jamie Lynn reads your face, she gives you a hug.
Yeah.
You're the same way often walk in, it's like, what's wrong? I'm going, what, do I have an eyebrow out of place? Sometimes you're off, but most of the time you're on. But yeah.
Right, but the fact is that there probably does need to be more balance.
Sure.
There's no question that there is a balance.
Absolutely, and I've seen that in my relationship with Jamie Lynn. There's sometimes where she's more naturally, either I need to tackle this confrontation or life is too hard today, so I'm going to stop. And because I have that Upchurch gene of like, let's keep going ahead or let's still get ready. We said we would go to this event. Because I have that, I'm so thankful I have that mask that I can put up and say, hey, we're still going to love on people even though we're having a tough day kind of thing.
Yeah.
But having that Cummings balance and of just being like, let's, actually, I need the boundary of I need today off or figuring out where you're at during that day.
Yeah. It's all a learning curve.
Geez.
It's all a journey.
It is.
Constant
and
learning.
We need to keep expectations and outcomes out of the picture. I mean, you and Jamie Lynn are working hard in the acting business. Mm. I want to brag on him for a little bit. I mean, he's made it, I'm going to call it, made it big in our local community theater.
Okay,
he was George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life this last November.
Yeah, and he also did the Alfred Hitchcock, the Strangers on a Train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Jamie Lynn's been some stuff. So to sit in an audience and watch them perform, gives me a, and like, I still don't know how they memorize all those lines.
Yeah.
I can't even memorize smaller things and stuff like that. But I get a joy out of watching them use their talents. Talk a little bit, Taylor, about your On the World Race or wherever it was that you guys both kind of heard God nudge you to saying, y'all got some creative talent and use it for the kingdom. Tell us a little bit of that story, how that happened, and here you are in Atlanta trying to get that rolling, and you got some stuff. But
you've gotten a lot of jobs.
Yeah, I'm a lot of commercial work, which I'm very thankful for.
And as an in-law parent, I want you to listen, because my job as an in-law parent is to be the wind underneath his wings.
Yes, okay? Thank you.
And I want to support him in any way I can. So if I can buy tickets, go watch him, do whatever, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to go buy a $1 million house and provide for my grandchildren. I want Charles Taylor Upchurch to be the man that he sees that God wants him to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, talk about that
thank
call.
You. Yeah. I mean, I don't know Jamie Lynn's perfectly as far as her journey with acting. But as far as mine, I grew up very shy, and my father is a great actor. And so I would watch him, and I'd always be intrigued by his acting. He did all these plays. He didn't really do a lot of any film other than like one commercial, but he did a lot of regional theater. So we go watch him.
Mm.
But there was never like I want to be up there with him. But there was always this intrigue with watching him up on stage. And they would ask me, there'd be Christmas plays at the church. Do you want to have a speaking part? Do you want to try out for stuff? No, absolutely not. I don't want to be on stage. And then when I was 14, God called me, it felt like he called me to be a pastor in layman's terms. Okay. So get up there, preach a sermon. So I'm thinking, how am I supposed to do this? And then from there, God kind of got me out of my shell a little bit. I still didn't become a pastor, obviously, but I learned later, being a pastor meant my spirit. I have a pastoral spirit, not necessarily.
Definitely.
I don't have that, I don't have that teaching spirit of like, I'm going to go up there and do a 2-hour sermon on, you know, the facts of life or whatever. all this I've been learning. And then I moved to Atlanta. My sister lived here. I moved to Atlanta and I signed up on Craigslist to be a extra on a BET show. And so I'm there and I'm like, this is kind of fun. And I didn't have friends judging me or people being like, what's going on? Because I was just here with my sister. And so I signed up for the show and I was like, this is so fun. I'm going to keep doing it. So I did acting class after acting class and then more things, student films. And then it just grew into this great thing where I loved it so much. But then I still had in the back of my mind, I'm supposed to be a pastor. What's going on? And then so I said, I'm going to do a missions trip to on the World Race. And I want God to show me during these 11 countries which one he wants me to go to, and I will live the rest of my life there. And forget about acting. Acting was a stepping stone so I can be a preacher, so I'm more comfortable being a preacher. And then on the race, he showed me, on the World Race, he showed me, actually, I just want you to be an actor, and it's okay. You're chasing me. You can chase me and acting at the same time. And so that was a big revelation. And so from there, even though I've jumped into other mission trips and other things, acting has kind of been the thing I've been steady with for the last 12 years now, and I'm very thankful for it. And still learning a lot, and it's hard every day. There are some days where I'm like, let's go. I'm gonna do acting the rest of my life, burn the boats. And then there's other days where I say, I wonder what the real estate market's like. Maybe I should be a real estate agent, or maybe I should sell insurance. And the good thing is my wife is also an actress, and so we lean on each other. When she wants to give up, I encourage her, and when I want to give up, and then you guys encourage us as well when we're having our down days of, you know. So we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, dreams are awesome. I remember the dream I had was at 22. I wanted to be a pastor, kind of similar to you. Thought that was youth pastor. Long story short, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And I knew at some point Julie and I were going to start a ministry, but that was like let's fast forward 30 years later or whatever. How long ago I started Bringing Kingdom? If you want to check out my ministry, go to bringingkingdom.org. And that dream of what I thought it was going to look like, I needed a little bit of different clarity because my heart resonated with this authenticity piece, pastoral piece. I'm an encourager, I'm a discipler. And really it kind of solidified the older I got to went, oh, wait a minute. This isn't what I thought it was originally. This has now become here. And now it's just kind of been such a joy to just come alongside men and do that. And dreams are like that. But it's like, you know, be there for your adult kids as they're going after their dreams. We're not to sit on the sidelines and tell them, well, when are you going to stop dreaming and get a real job? That is not, I just don't believe that that's the way to love our in-law kids and our kids well. We want them to be who God's called them to be. And if they need support, we're going to do whatever we can to get them there and believe in them. And it's up to them to figure that out with each other and with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely. we're on the sidelines cheering them on. It's like watching a game or a race or something.
And, you know, one thing I want to point out that probably makes you and me different.
Okay, is?
She doesn't believe in her dreams.
No, not from each other.
Oh, gotcha.
But maybe from another viewpoint. From other people is, you know, if you look at, I don't know what the percentage is, let's say 90% of the world, they don't come from a society where individuation is so important. Hmm. They live in multiple generational situations. They revere the elders. It's a different thing. And here, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, you got to grow up and get out and blah, blah, blah. Hmm. And not that we totally disagree with that, because I don't, because you also want to encourage someone to become all they were meant to be. And if someone's doing nothing and not working and not providing at all,
just playing video games in the basement.
Yeah, that's a whole different ball of wax. And, you know, there's a lot of biblical verses about that kind of like not doing things. But what makes us different is we haven't bought into the American ideal of there's only one way to do it.
Right.
There's only, you know, you graduate high school, you go to college, you graduate, you get $100,000 a year paying job, and you do this and this and this.
Buy a house, settle down, you work for 40, 50 years, get the gold watch, retire, play golf, and then you die.
Right.
Right.
And so we're not coming from that place. So if you are coming from that place, you know, you might think that we're idiots, and that's fine. But I think where we differ is we're looking at the eternal significance of the relationships around us.
Amen.
And not the American success story.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
No, yeah. It's having a kingdom impact. We're here very temporarily. I mean, you know, 80, 90 years seems like a long time to be on this earth, but an eternity is a much larger slice. I mean, this is like a fraction of a nanosecond when you compare it with eternity.
Yeah.
And so let's enjoy the time here. We don't have to fit into any boxes. There's no retirement in the Bible. There's no going to college and all that stuff in the Bible. It's, you know, be who you feel God has called you to be. And a lot of it, too, just has to do with identity. And Taylor and Jamie Lynn are good at knowing their identity as beloved sons and beloved daughters and living from who they are, not what they do. Mm. Yeah. That's kind of a big thing, is we focus too much in this culture on what we do. You go meet someone, hey, what do you do? It's like, I know Taylor's heart. I know who he is and stuff. And when he chooses what he feels God's wanting him to do, I'm going to support him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just that it's not only like this culture, because I feel like 50 years ago, that was the thing. It was, you need to do these things. And
you talk
to, you know, people doing what I'm doing right now, delivery driver and acting, that just unheard of back in, you know, 50 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But these days it's a lot more acceptable. But also, if you look in the Bible or in any culture, God doesn't do the thing that is expected.
He's a countercultural guy.
Absolutely, which gives me a lot of hope, because he uses a lot of people that are very weak and that are, you know, the Gideons of the world, the people who are like, that person is the one leading the army. and I'm not leading an army or anything like that, but I do feel like that Gideon side of me, or that I've always loved Moses because he was always...
Yeah. He didn't want to talk.
He didn't want to talk. And I felt that way younger.
Aaron's going to speak for me.
Exactly. And then Aaron spoke and he's like, all right, Aaron, be quiet. I want to start.
But no, you're exactly right.
It's and even the way Jesus was born, you know, or the way he came. They thought he was going to be a military leader and know all the, you know. God is very good at going outside the box. And so I'm okay with being in the box as well. There are some, if you work at a job for 40 years and God's called you to that and you get that gold watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hey, that's great. But there are some people like myself who,
that's not me.
It's not me. I'm not a cubicle guy, but man, I'm always impressed by people who can be that cubicle person.
And I think what we want to help parents pivot to be a partner is hold all that loosely. Don't have expectations for your in-law kids. Let them be who God's called them to be. And if you see them heading off in the wrong direction, sorry to keep banging the table and making noise. I'm the only one without headphones on here. You should have the headphones on, so sorry for the background noise. But let them be. Just love them well. You know, be there to love them and their kids well, and back up and watch what happens.
Yeah.
And I also want to encourage those of you out there or the parents out there, if you feel God's pushing you outside the box and you're saying, wait, I've only known this last 40 years or 20 years of parenthood where I've had this job and I've sold insurance or I've done real estate or whatever, and I want to be a singer, or I want to pursue this crazy dream of being an artist or anything, whatever God is calling you, don't be afraid to say, I'm going to go back to school. I feel like I'm supposed to be a history teacher. I'm going to go back to school. Or not even I'm going back to school. I'm just going to transition to another job. Or saying I'm going to retire from this job that I've loved for a long time. And not, I mean, technically retire, but then jump into something else at the house. Or, you know, you retire from the big job, but then you have other projects you got going on.
Absolutely.
I hear it called breaking the mold. Don't get stuck in a mold that says you have to be there.
Amen.
Anything else you want to ask this?
No, I think that we've had a really good conversation. Enjoyed this.
Anything else you want to add to parents to help them pivot better as an in-law adult child?
I think just something recently that God keeps reminding me is just prayer. Prayer is the biggest thing that we can do. It's just a relationship with God. And so if you're struggling, I know it's the very Christianese answer, but just keep praying, keep asking, because that's... It works.
And I would say this too, because something I've just kind of stepped into because I love this command so much is ask your in-law child. I mean, go do something with them one-on-one. Mm. Go to a baseball game. Go to a movie. Go get to know them. Ask them questions. Mm-hmm. You know, they're family now. They're whether it's a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law. You know, I mean, it might be kind of weird to go out with your daughter-in-law. I don't know, but you know.
You mean if you're a man.
Correct.
Yeah. Because I've gone out with my daughter.
That's true. Yeah. But in family settings, have a conversation, you know, pull them aside and just ask questions. Get to know them at a deeper level.
Yeah.
Things. That's always awesome. But hey, if you are loving this podcast, we would appreciate it if you would share it with those. Maybe you heard something in today's podcast that, I've got some friends that would enjoy this podcast. Please share it. Please rate us on the Apple Podcast thing right here, whether it's 1 star or half a star, we're grateful.
We'd prefer 5 stars.
We would. If you think we're worthy of, five, we would appreciate that. And to get a hold of us, we've had a number of listeners, you know, email us and tell us about topics that we hadn't even thought of. Mm. And so we're making connection with them. We'll have future podcasts about that. You can send us an email at parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com.
That's it.
So, Taylor Up Church.
Yes.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me and listening.
Maybe when we have child number 2, we'll invite you back.
There you go.
Tell us what it's like when family 4.
We can do a dual one with Jamie Lynn, with me. And
there we go.
Yeah, that would be fun.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next time on the Parent for the Podcast.
Bye.